Misanthrope Radio.
Pissy, pissmongering, fucking pisspot of the damned.
Misanthrope Radio.
International cream corn fuckheadery.
Misanthrope Radio.
Simply a dirty Jew.
Misanthrope Radio.
And as the young man knew full well, chicken fried steak couldn't fuck back. All it could do was be delicious.
Misanthrope Radio starts now. Welcome to episode 8 of Misanthrope Radio. You know, I don't really do current events on this podcast. I don't know if you've noticed or not. I kind of envisioned Misanthrope Radio as not only therapy for me to keep me from losing my fucking mind, but also as kind of a place where you can go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. A show you can download to kind of escape from fucking reality and maybe take a little bit of a cruise through unreality. Because the suckiness of the real fucking world is everywhere you turn. It's everywhere you look. There's no safe fucking place to hide anymore. Not even on Twitter or X or whatever they call it. I'm going to call it Twitter. If his mama named him Twitter, I'm going to call him Twitter. Twitter, television, late night TV, Saturday Night Live. Like, there's no fucking place to go. There's no place to go now just to kind of fucking escape from the dog shit that is the current state of the world. Having said that, Ozzy Osbourne died. That is, I mean, it's a current event. It's a current event. We all knew it was coming. He had been on the downhill slide for a very long time. And I'm going to do something I don't normally do. In the case of Ozzy Osbourne, I'm going to talk about current events. I can't think of a single artist that I would do this for. And that sounds really fucking arrogant to say, like, who am I? You know what I mean? He was Ozzy fucking Osbourne. Who am I to say I wouldn't do a tribute for any other artist? But I wouldn't. If that comes across as cunty and egotistical, it is not meant that way at all. It's just, like I tried to explain at the very beginning, I have definite ideas about what Misanthrope Radio should and should not be. Talking about the passing of a musician was never going to make its way onto Misanthrope Radio. Or so I thought, until Ozzy Osbourne passed. And I didn't even realize how much it would kick me in the fucking dick until I read this story. And you saw the way he went out. He sucked it up, fucking tamped down all of the pain and the fucking shaking and all of the bullshit and all of the indignities that he had to go through at the end of his life, and got up on that fucking stage one more time with his friends and performed for his fans. Sure, they turned it into a charity thing and made a whole bunch of money for some really worthy causes. Sure, it was an opportunity for artists to pay tribute to Ozzy and Black Sabbath. That was kind of a cool thing, too. But the main attraction, don't get that fucked up, was Ozzy, Geezer, Tony, and Bill getting on stage one last time and doing it. Ozzy was relegated to a chair, a very opulent chair, to be sure, but he was relegated to a chair. And you could see he didn't have long. It was one of the most gangster fucking things I've ever seen. Think about this for a moment. Name another fucking artist who would get on stage at the very end of their life and go hard as a motherfucker like he did, just to say goodbye to his fans. It's fucking cool. I mean, it really is. I'm not going to turn this into a drippy fucking vag cry fest over Ozzy Osbourne. All I'm going to say is this. 1991, when the No More Tears album came out, I know your Ozzy and Black Sabbath purists are going to point to specific records earlier on and say that that's his best shit. Fuck all that. I don't care about that. We can fucking measure dicks and talk about what influence and all of that fucking bullshit later. What I'm telling you is that for me, in 1991, when the No More Tears album came out, I didn't fucking have anything or anyone. All I fucking had was music. I had bad friends. I was a fucking unfuckable nerd. And music is all I fucking had. That album, that CD was fucking important to me. The No More Tears album. That was one of the CDs that got me through that fucking year. That was a fucking awful year. Okay, that's enough emotion. I'm going to do something right now that I'm not supposed to do. It's something that I thought I would never do on Misanthrope Radio, and I'm definitely not supposed to fucking do it. As a podcaster, I'm going to play a song in its entirety. And if I get in trouble, then I get in trouble. This is Ozzy Osbourne and his band performing at a live show as an encore, I believe, Mama, I'm Coming Home, off the No More Tears album.
Okay, I'll tell you what, man. We'll do one more song, but you gotta make me a promise. You gotta sing along with me, man, okay? It's a song called Mama, I'm Coming Home. Times have changed and times are strange. Here I come, but I ain't the same. Mama, I'm coming home. Times go by, seems to be you could have been a better friend to me. Mama, I'm coming home. You took me. Lost and found it, turned around by the fire in your eyes. You drained me dry, you told me lies, but I can't stand to say goodbye. Mama, I'm coming home. Could be right, I could be wrong. It hurts so bad.
Rest in peace, sir. Ozzy Osbourne. the Prince of Darkness. Thank you. Holy shit, it's the devil. I don't know of a respectful way to ask this, but what the fuck are you doing here?
Prince of fucking darkness indeed.
What? What? Ozzy? Yeah, he went by the Prince of Darkness.
Prince of fucking darkness. As if.
Satan, what are you talking about?
Everybody wants to be the Prince of fucking darkness until the going gets a little bit tough, and then they go off and find Jesus.
What? Are you talking about him getting right with God before he passed away? Do you have a fucking problem with that?
Do I have a problem with it? I've been feeding him bitches and cocaine since the 70s. He was working in a fucking meatpacking plant when I found him. Yeah, that's right. He was working in a fucking meatpacking plant, blowing up cow vaginas like balloons and kicking them all over the inside of the facility. I found him, realized his potential, and set him on the path of rock and roll stardom.
So, okay, Satan, I understand that you're trying to take credit for the success of Ozzy Osbourne.
Can anybody deny that Black Sabbath wasn't entirely mine? I spoon-fed him bitches, I spoon-fed him cocaine, I spoon-fed him inspiration. I encouraged him to go out on his own and leave those fucking Sabbath losers behind. And you want to talk about taking fucking lemons and making lemonade? When he tried to kill Sharon, I helped him pen his greatest hit. The closest he's ever come to mainstream success. It was all me.
Okay, but what's the bottom line here, Lucifer? Are you saying that your ass hurt that he got right with Jesus before he died?
What I'm saying is I did my part. He wanted fame, he wanted stardom, he wanted bitches, he wanted drugs, he wanted an opulent lifestyle. He wanted everyone to love him even though he couldn't carry a tune in a fucking bucket. I did that, me. And when it came time to pay me what I was owed, he ran away to Jesus. Dad fucking damn it, if I can't catch a break. Sure, I've got all your garden variety fucking losers. I've got the people who fucking abuse children and skip out on child support. I get all those. But I really wanted Ozzy. I feel like I deserved Ozzy. I had Ozzy coming. I did the legwork. I acted in good faith. I played my fucking part. And he fucked me. He fucked me right at the end. This is bullshit. Dad damn it.
Okay. Sure, I understand where you're coming from. But look at it from the perspective of just a mere mortal human, if you can for a minute.
Go ahead. I'm all fucking ears.
Let me just put it this way. There is honestly nothing more terrifying than the thought of spending an eternity being flayed and fucking tormented in hell.
Oh, dad damn it. Here, listen, here we go.
No. You had your shot. Now give me a minute to explain. The great thing about being a Christian, as Ozzy was towards the end of his life.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
The great thing about being a Christian, as Ozzy was towards the end of his life, is you're just one prayer away from being redeemed and having your, I think, and it's the quote is something like having your sins thrown as far as the East is from the West. So with that knowledge in hand, can you really blame him for getting right with the Lord before passing away? If the alternative is his soul, eternal soul, by the way, going to you and being tormented for all eternity.
I guess I see what you're saying. But I acted honorably. And in my defense, while hell does definitely suck, it's not the lava and flame suckscape that everyone thinks it is.
Okay, yeah, but that's not what it says in the Bible.
The fucking Bible. How the hell would they know? They've never even been there. Anyway, fuck all this shit. I'm going on a coast-to-coast media blitz, Lorenzo. I'm gonna tell everyone who will listen that I got fucking screwed. I gave that motherfucker everything he asked for. And you know what I didn't give him? What I protected him from? And think about this, he's been fucking random bitches since the 70s. I didn't give him herpes. He did not get herpes. I held up my fucking end of the bargain. I did my job. And I deserved that fucking soul. That's all I'm saying. I'm tired of getting fucked. Last minute redemption. Fuck you.
So, I mean, when you put it like that, I guess you were owed.
Oh, I was owed. and I am fucking furious. I'm never gonna get over this. This is just as bad as Elvis.
Elvis? Are you saying you didn't get Elvis either?
Fuck no. As he was dying on the toilet, he fucking had one hand braced on the wall, one hand braced on the side of the toilet, and he looked up with sweat pouring down his face, and I was crawling up the fucking pipes. I was crawling up the pipes almost to his asshole. And I was gonna reach up that big fucking greasy rock and roll ass and get that soul. And he cried out his last fucking words, and nobody knows this because they weren't there, but I was.
No shit. What were his last words? What were Elvis's last words?
His last words were, "God forgive me." Fuck! You gotta be fucking kidding me. I just turned around and went right back down to hell. I am tired of getting fucked by these musicians. I'm getting out of the entertainment business altogether. These guys can fucking sink or swim on their own. I'm gonna focus on the politicians. Last minute redemption wouldn't even cross their fucking minds.
Okay, well, shit. I feel like I should ask you some questions. I mean, how many opportunities am I gonna have to interview the devil?
No, no questions. Fuck off. On my way to someone more popular. Love you, Lorenzo. Love your show. I'll see you in about 18 years.
Wait, what? 18 years? What? No, don't fucking leave. What do you mean 18 years? What do you mean 18 years? Son of a bitch. 18 years. Fucking hell. Thanks, Satan, asshole. I'll be 68. Fucking, I don't want to die at 68. I thought I'd at least make it to 75. I've been fairly healthy most of my life. Anyway, Satan's pissed. I can't say that I necessarily blame him when you listen to his point of view. All right. On to the next segment.
Segment two.
I had a really fucking irritating week. And I'm not talking about Ozzy and Hulk Hogan and all that. That's just kind of a bummer. I had a really fucking irritating week because I notice everything now. It's one of those things that comes along with podcasting. Back in the day when I was in radio, I noticed everything all the time and I made notes of everything and I would talk about stuff and I would extrapolate and roll things over in my fucking mind and no detail ever got past me. And it was fucking maddening a lot of times because I notice everything all the time. Incidentally, radio people make the worst fucking podcasters. Have you ever heard a podcast that was done by a radio person that didn't suck? I don't understand it. My personal theory is that radio people can't handle a blank canvas. You know what I mean? Sitting down and hitting the record button without something prompting you or some kind of format clock to tell you what to say and when to say it just completely blows their fucking mind. But they think, oh, I've got a radio voice. I can fucking talk and it'll be great. And all my fucking fans will follow me over here onto the podcast side. Doesn't really work that way. And I think they're finding that out. So hopefully all the radio people will just fuck off. Get out of the way. Well, then I went in the Navy and then I joined the civilian sector and I've gotten bored and I decided I'm really going to fucking lean into this podcasting thing. So I've flipped that fucking switch in my head where I notice everything again now. And a lot of the problems that I have and the things that I run into and stuff that fucking really, really irritates me are things that are not really that big a deal. Most folks wouldn't even fucking notice them because they've got their fucking blinders on. But again, that switch has been flipped in my head, and now I notice everything again, whether I want to or not. For example, the other day I was trying to have a nice lunch at Arby's, and I walk in, and it's just one fucking guy and his wife at the fucking counter. No big deal. Arby's is never crazy busy. It's like you go to McDonald's, you can wait 20 minutes just to have somebody even look your direction, right? If they fucking have people working at the counters at all. More often than not now, these McDonald's and Taco Bells, you can just go fuck yourself, use our mobile kiosk thing, or use the app, eat a dick, we're not even trying to talk to you. Arby's hasn't got there yet. Arby's still has somebody working the counter, and I love me some fucking Arby's. I mean, they have the fucking meats. Enough said. So I walk in there and I'm thinking French dip. That's what I'm going with today. I'm going with the French dip and I want the curly fries and a large unsweet tea. And I'm going to get no fewer than five cups of their fucking sauces. I like two horsey sauces. I want one Arby's sauce, that three pepper hot sauce that they have, which is incidentally the best hot sauce I've ever had. And then the other one will be a fucking surprise. I have no idea. Maybe it's honey mustard. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it could just be ketchup. I'm running through all this shit in my mind as I go in there, right? And I'm standing there behind this couple and I notice the guy and I look him up and down real quick. He's wearing a pink t-shirt. He's wearing jean shorts and he's wearing strappy sandals. And I go, oh shit. And then I get to looking at his head and I realize this guy's probably late 50s, weak chin, narrow shoulders, small arms, small sweaty looking hands, no visible tattoos, neatly manicured, very thin beard. Fuck me. This is not what I need today. And he didn't disappoint. I'm going to call him Stanley. I don't know that that's his name, but he looks like a Stanley. With the man that I just described to you, did Stanley just pop in your fucking head? Because Stanley popped in mine. And Stanley was always going to be a problem. He was never going to not be a problem. Everywhere he goes, Stanley's a fucking problem. So as I'm standing there and I give Stanley the up and down, again, the strappy fucking sandals, no visible tattoos, narrow shoulders, close cropped but slightly unkempt full head of hair, pencil thin fucking beard that runs across his weak jaw, very prevalent Adam's apple, pink shirt, jean shorts. As I'm taking in Stanley, I realize that this conversation that he's having with the young lady behind the counter is going on way longer than it probably should. One of the great things about going to a place like Arby's is there's not a whole lot to fucking discuss. It's roast beef on fucking bread. There's not a whole lot of shit to question on the fucking Arby's menu. So I'm drinking in the fucking scene with my eyes and my mind is churning and extrapolating, and then I quiet all that down because I gotta know what's going on. Why the hell is this order taking so long? Is he ordering for a football team that I'm unaware of? You know, what exactly is going on with Stanley and the wife that is taking so long at this fucking counter? So I take a step forward and I kind of turn to the side so I can listen in on the conversation. And what I hear is pretty much what you would expect a Stanley to be doing at an Arby's counter. Stanley needs to know from whence the beef came. Stanley needs to know how the beef is prepared. Stanley needs to know if it's sous vide or if it is roasted, or how exactly Arby's is preparing their roast beef sandwiches. And then he needs to know about triglycerides and monopeptides. Stanley's got to fucking know about the molecular composition of Arby's roast beef before he feels comfortable enough to order himself a fucking sandwich. Stanley's wife is just standing to the side watching the scene play out as Stanley peppers the young lady behind the counter and really tests her knowledge of the menu. The young lady, by the way, couldn't have been a day over 18, and she eventually has enough of Stanley and is obviously very flustered, as she has never had to deal with a line of questioning like this before. And why fucking would she? Why would she? Why would she have to deal with this? It's a fucking Arby's, okay? We're at a fucking Arby's, Stanley. So eventually, she says, hang on just a minute, and she goes and gets her manager. Stanley is only too happy to wait for the manager. The manager comes up. Stanley gives her the quick up and down, and honestly, in his defense, there's a whole lot of this woman to see. And Stanley starts coming at her about the protein content of Arby's roast beef, and is it actually roast beef? And if it is roast beef, what part of the cow are we using? Why is there no fat ribbon? He wants to know everything about the fucking Arby's roast beef sandwich. And as I'm standing there watching this fucking scene play out, I'm growing more irritated and more irritated and more irritated. I've lost interest in listening to Stanley pepper the fucking management with questions. My interest in the entire process has waned, and now my mind is starting to move down the pathway to murder. And I start envisioning all the ways in my mind that I can fucking kill Stanley right there in that line. The line that began as Stanley, his wife, and I is now going all the way out the fucking door because Stanley is incapable of just ordering a goddamn sandwich and going and sitting down, you fucking narrow-shouldered pussy. And I finally settle on Chainsaw. In my mind, while I'm waiting for Stanley to fucking get around to finally ordering his food, I have gone back out to the fucking toolbox in my truck, reached in, pulled my fucking chainsaw out, primed it, lit it off, come back inside. Everyone else in line sees what's getting ready to happen and they fucking scatter. That place empties out in less than 10 seconds and I just begin carving fucking Stanley into small manageable pieces right in front of the shocked fucking restaurant staff and his goddamn wife.
Here's your fucking peptides and mono fucking glutamate, motherfucker. Take this, you fucking bitch. Fuck you, Stanley. Fuck you, Stanley.
And about the time I'm ready to turn and take a step and go out to my truck to retrieve my chainsaw, Stanley finally places his order, quickly pays, and thankfully fucks off to the dining room. Crisis thankfully averted. The next source of irritation, and as it turns out near miss, came at another restaurant actually later on in the week. I was at a Chinese buffet. I don't know about where you're from, but where I'm from, Chinese buffets are a big thing. And when I say big thing, I mean big people go to them. In a dining room that should be able to sit 200, it really only sits about 50 wide backs. These wide back sausage finger motherfuckers just pile in there. Every single one of them, even the worst fucking Chinese buffet joint, is gonna have a fucking line of people standing at that fucking feed trough. Anyway, I was at a Chinese buffet. Being a man of some size myself, I love me a good trough. And again, here is where the fact that I now notice everything is fucking my life up. I'm standing there waiting to get to the fried rice. Now, what I like to do is I like to put a thin layer of fried rice along the bottom and then go to each one of the entrees and side dishes and pile them on top into a great big mound of air quotes Chinese food and then sit down with chopsticks and, you know, delicately eat one piece at a time off the top until I'm down to the rice, which has been thoroughly seasoned and inundated with the melange of fucking sauces from all of the different things that I piled on top of it. That's how I like to enjoy my Chinese buffet. So I'm standing there waiting to get to the fried rice. And that's when I notice the people ahead of me. It's this lady, this careworn fucking lady in a knee-length jean skirt, floral print blouse, and flip-flops. A little bit heavy set, but not fat by any stretch of the imagination. She has her unkempt hair in an unkempt pile on top of her unkempt head. She is scurrying and harried, half hunched over, running around behind what can only be described as a little bastard. This fucking kid can't be a day over 6 years old and he is running up and down the fucking buffet line, sticking his hand in each one of the entrees and pulling bits of whatever he might want out of it and depositing it on the plate that she's holding. That sucks, right? That sucks in every imaginable way. There's nothing about that scene that doesn't suck. So now the rest of us are put into a position. When we walk up to the Mugu Gai Pan that we watched that little cocksucker just put his fucking dick beater in the middle of, do we flatly refuse to take any food out of that pan? It's a Chinese restaurant, after all, ran by actual Chinese people. These motherfuckers are not going to change that pan out until it's gone. You can go fuck yourself and your hygiene standards. That's not racial insensitivity. That is a fucking fact, and you know it. Because their idea of what's hygienic and our idea of what's hygienic are way fucking different. Polar opposites. You walk in the back of a Chinese restaurant right now, there is a very good chance that there's going to be some fucking old lady with no bra, a sundress on, and no panties sitting on the floor cutting fucking chicken with a cleaver. It's not a bad bet. So you have a choice. Are you going to flatly refuse to eat the Mugu Gai Pan knowing that it will not be replaced? Or are you just going to fucking take the spoon and just kind of go along the outside edge of it? Well, that's obviously what everyone is doing, right? They're just kind of following behind this little cocksucker and tiptoeing through the fucking carnage. Okay, so that sucks, but that's not what really got me cranked up. What really got me upset was the look. The look on that harried, fucking exasperated mother's face when she made eye contact with me. She looks up at me. Her little fucking bastard child is scurrying towards me with fucking food all over his hands. She's following behind him, hunched over with his plate as he's depositing shit onto it with his hands. And the look that she gives me nearly sent me spiraling into a murderous fucking rage. And you've seen the look. I know you have. Everyone's seen the look. The moment she gave me the look I'm getting ready to describe to you, I knew that I'd seen it before. I'd seen it hundreds of times before on the faces of harried mothers and pussy-whipped fucking house husbands. I've seen it over and over and over again. This bitch was just the latest in a long line. The look is this. She was hunched over. She looked up at me with these careworn eyes, almost pleading but also amused. This half smile on her face, one of her shoulders kind of shrugged, and her head tilted a little bit to the side. That look right there is meant to say, what are you gonna do? It takes a village, right? He won't be this small forever. I do what I can. We're just getting through it down here, pal. The look of the perpetual victim. Like it's not her fault that this little cocksucker's running up and down the fucking food trough, putting his hand in all of the food that everyone has to eat. And I stopped in my fucking tracks. I don't know how long I stood there. I saw that fucking look and my mind just started rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling through all of the fucking times I've seen that look on somebody's fucking face when the person that they're with is doing something outside of what is considered to be okay. I've seen that fucking look over and over and over and over and over again, and my mind is just fucking rolling through, and it's like a fucking slideshow. Blang, 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 blang. Face after face after face after face after face of all these fucking perpetual victims over and over and over again. And then I envision picking up her son by his ankles and beating her to fucking death with him.
Discipline your fucking kid! Stop fucking turning out of the fucking society, you fucking cunt! Fuck! Fuck you! Fuck! Fucking fuck! Take it! Fucking take this beating! Fuck this shit! Fuck it! Stupid fucking dumb shit! Goddamn motherfucker!
I don't know how long I stood there playing out the death of this woman in my head, but I stood there a while. I stood there long enough for her and her little bastard to have disappeared off somewhere, and all of the people that I had been watching fill their plates were gone. I stood there in a fucking psychotic daze for I have no idea how long. A long fucking time. While the scene of me murdering that fucking worthless bitch played out in my fucking head. So yeah, it's been an irritating week in a lot of ways. Those two examples that I gave, Stanley the fucking pussy at Arby's and the harried fucking perpetual victim mom at the buffet line, were just the most easily relatable, the most easily quantifiable. It's like you hear the story about Stanley, you hear the story about the mom, you may or may not want to actually act out a murder scene. when you encounter people like this, I don't know how fucking common that is. If you don't, hey, whatever, man, to each their own. For me, I envision murdering them. But I think you can relate. The rest of the shit is not as easy to quantify. Anyway, I could go on all day. I'm not going to fucking ramble on anymore. Let's just go ahead and close this bitch out now. Show notes. I'm really worried about going back and listening to that Aussie bit. I got to be honest with you. I'm concerned because Ozzy Osbourne was very important to me. And, you know, the Satan thing that I did there in the Ozzy Osbourne bit was supposed to just be kind of silly and ridiculous. Not necessarily funny, but at least a little bit entertaining. But I don't want it to come across as disrespectful. I'm a fucking huge Ozzy fan. Nothing but respect for him. Nothing but respect for his family. And I would never want to do anything to make any of those people feel bad. Not that they'd ever hear it. Let's be honest. But I don't want to disrespect Ozzy Osbourne. That's That's not the intention. I think he had a pretty good sense of humor, seemed to anyway, based on, you know, what you see on TV. You never know if that's how he really is, but he came across as pretty real on TV and came across as somebody who had a fairly decent sense of humor and had the ability to laugh at himself. So I think that maybe Satan coming up out of hell and throwing a screaming fit because Ozzy found Jesus at the very end would probably at least make him chuckle, or at least he wouldn't hate it. I don't know. But I don't want to be disrespectful. That's not what I was trying to do. Anyway, thank you for joining me for episode 8 of Misanthrope Radio. I hope you're digging the show. I'm not going to tell you to leave a review. Jamingo says they're useless. I don't know if they are or not. I'm not going to tell you to leave a review. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you to bring a friend along. I just hope that you're enjoying the show. It's like, obviously, I think that nobody should be podcasting except for me. But at the end of the day, I just really want you to enjoy it. And if you do and you want to drop me a line and let me know, that would be awesome. All right, punching out. Until next time.